This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chwee-Lin. In 2012, a group of lawyers dissatisfied with the rising crime rates in Malaysia got together and organized a campaign to build a safer Malaysia. They consulted criminologists and safety experts to put together a module on crime prevention. It formed the basis of the forums and workshops that this initiative organized in schools, colleges and resident associations across Malaysia. Here to share the ideals of safer Malaysia as well as to give us an update on how far they've come are lawyers Richard Wee and Darren Lai, both co-chairmen of the Safer Malaysia campaign. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hi, thank you.
So firstly, remind us what Safer Malaysia is and why you wanted to initiate it 3 years ago.
Well, thank you, Lynn, for having Safer Malaysia on this show. Well, Safer Malaysia started off really as a ragtag team of lawyers and rakyat who were just really concerned with the escalating crime at that time. Every one of us sat down and we all had some problems in respect of crime. So sat down and then we came up with a module. It was delivered to all the stakeholders, including the government officials as well as the police, as well as Bar Council. Now, along that way, Bar Council took up the initiative and we set up a Safer Malaysia committee under the Bar Council. So from there on, we have started moving on with the whole concept of Safer Malaysia, been mainly a think tank in providing solutions to the crime problems that faces Malaysia.
So taking us back to that 3 years ago, you know, how did you first come up with that initial module? What was the thought process behind that?
Well, Lynn, Richard here. Actually, it started off with a few of my friends and I. We started off about, as Darren mentioned, 3 years ago. We wanted to find a solution to crime. We wanted to go straight to the point and try to find a way to persuade the government and the system that crime fighting is really not about bigger walls or bigger guns or more CCTV. It's actually trying to find the reason a person decided to get involved in crime. And then once we know why this person got involved in crime, we were suggesting ways to stop this person from going on to commit the crime. So, for example, now, if we know there will be a Bo Tak Ching who's now in school and he is going to grow up to be a Bo Tak Ching in 20 years' time, if we can go to school and stop this fellow from thinking about crime, then we have one less Bo Tak Ching 20 years from now. So Safer Malaysia is actually about that. Fight for our future, one. Two, within the program, we try to create a community vigilance where the community as a society stay vigilant, form Rukun Tetangga, work together, fight crime, work with the police, etc., etc. So Safer Malaysia became the platform for that. And then we have issues about deterrence, where we suggest how to deter crime, like more patrol, strong enforcement, effective enforcement of law, etc., etc. So basically, Safer Malaysia started with that idea. We drafted a memorandum and module, and now we are here in BFM. Yeah.
So between 2012 and now, could you give us an update on the progress that the initiative has made?
Yeah, well, as Richard has stated earlier, in respect of the combating crime at the very start, it is very very important aspect to us at Safer Malaysia. And to that, we have came up with a program which we are working very hard on right now. It's called Safer Malaysia Kids. Now, this Safer Malaysia Kids comprises of a module to basically educate children in school that doing crime is not right. And other than that, we are also teaching them, educating them on how to be vigilant as well as create a deterring factor against crime happening towards themselves. Of course, other than that, Safer Malaysia Kids also encompasses education to the teachers and the parents as well for them to understand and create that deterring factor against crime happening against their children.
How do you bring this to these members of the community? You know, how many children do you reach? How many neighbourhoods do you go to? How many schools do you reach?
Well, at the moment, we are doing I would say, promotion of the Safer Malaysia Kids through our training programs. We do a lot of trainings to college, to public universities, even to certain private institutions. And we will mention about Safer Malaysia Kids and promote that aspect of Safer Malaysia to them. But of course, in the long run, we would like Safer Malaysia Kids to be introduced to the school system, which is where, at this point, we are working closely with parties like Permandu, and we're also looking to work with the Ministry of Education in order to bring this module into the schools.
And on that note, how are you collaborating with Permandu?
Well, Lynn, a few months ago, and we will speak about this later, about 2 months ago, we hosted a Safer Malaysia conference together with the University of Defence. It was fantastic. 200 stakeholders arrived and attended the conference. One of them was Permandu. In fact, the Permandu, Dato' Amir Khan, spoke at the conference. He was taken with the project. He has now worked quite closely with us. He's met us a few times. Some of our reps deal with Permandu frequently. We intend to present a curriculum for schools to him and also to MOE, with the hope that somebody will adopt it or at least follow that idea and try to go back to school and educate kids not to get involved in crime. So we're heading that way.
And how do you also collaborate with other local authorities like the police or the fire department?
Well, on that note, Lynn, I'll pass it back to Darren, but we do work very closely with, for example, in Klang Valley, with the PJ Police. We work with them, we deal with them. We also have an outreach with many, many resident associations all over Peninsula Malaysia. We even have Safer Malaysia in Sabah, particularly in Kota Kinabalu. So we deal with them by having meetings, dialogues, writing letters, exchange letters, in fact, sometimes simple WhatsApp message between the two parties, tweeting to each other, and it's been good. The police know that the Bar Council, through Safer Malaysia, try to become the platform for everyone to work together to find a solution against crime.
The federal court recently ruled that construction of boom gates across public roads and guardhouses in residential areas are legal. Is this a step in the right direction?
Well, it definitely is a step in the right direction. It's giving the right message in terms of legalization of the boom gates. However, we at Safer Malaysia have actually read the judgment. We really are of the view that that judgment is in respect of that particular facts alone. It in our view, it really doesn't cover yet the whole of Malaysia. Right. It's a step in the right direction. It's a good precedent. But really, it may be confined to the facts of that case itself in respect of a community which was developed with the intent of a gated and guarded community. Now, why do I say does it not apply yet to the whole Malaysia? It's because of, let's think of places like SS2 or Bandar Utama. They were developed 30, 40 years ago, or about 20 years ago, without the intent of a gated and guarded community. But now, because of the crime issues and the fear of the crime, the residents band up together and started building up these fences and boom gates and whatnot, which really, in the federal court decision, does not answer that particular issue, which is an issue that Safer Malaysia do look at as well through our law reform units. Which leads me actually to back to your question earlier on how we work with local authorities like Bomba. People ask, why is local authority and Bomba involved when it comes to safety and security and crime? This is where they come in, which is where our conference really had built a very good relationship with them. We understood their concerns, especially Bomba. What happens if a boom gate is built up and suddenly there's a fire at 4 a.m., who is going to open the gate for them? You see? So these are issues that we're still looking at. We're trying to work together closely with local authorities and Bomba to come up with a solution that hopefully can be a win-win situation.
Sure, because you need to think relatively long term, right? You can't just kind of put something down and hope that this will keep everybody out without thinking about how it might also hem you in.
Exactly. Because the federal court case, actually both Darren and I want it to apply to everyone. We want it to, but looking at the facts, in the case, the background of the facts was the parties had purchased properties which already had plans to build a gate, and eventually the residents there decided to do it themselves. So the example like SS2 or Ipoh Garden in Ipoh or in the Taman Permai in Johor, they have no such plans. Can they supply? Is a question mark.
I'm speaking today to Richard Wee and Darren Lai, co-chairman of the Bar Council Safer Malaysia Committee, and we are discussing how to build a safer Malaysia. Up next, perception versus reality when it comes to crime in Malaysia on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today are Richard Wee and Darren Lai, co-chairman of the Bar Council Safer Malaysia Committee. We're discussing how to build a safer Malaysia, an issue that really concerns us all. So it's often said that perception far outweighs the reality of crime rates in Malaysia. Big statement. Would you agree with that?
In Malaysia, well, yes. The perception of crime is definitely haunting us. But with respect, I don't think it's perception. There is a massive amount of crime every day. Putting aside the veracity and the truth of the report, but if you look at the social media updates on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even Tumblr, people are saying, look, I just got robbed, I just got broken in, etc. Even if these people, half of them are lying, there's still a lot of crime there. And many of them don't launch reports because they feel that nothing's going to be done. Something Safer Malaysia is also trying to address. You know, we want to tell people, look, if there's a crime, please launch a report. Just report.
And how do you address that? Because I know, you know, just speaking on a purely anecdotal level, I know of people who have had crimes committed against them, but because it's little things, you know, they think it's just pickpocketing, for example, or, you know, so long as they didn't get hurt, I think they often feel that, oh, well, this is just part of living here. Yeah, I don't have to report it. So how do you address that inclination to just go, never mind?
Well, from a community level and from the Bar Council level, Darren and I, together with our team, we always encourage people at anywhere we meet, like now meeting you, for example, or at our trainings, we tell people, look, launch a report. And then we explain why. It's for statistics. It's more accurate. Then we know which area is a hot spot, etc., etc. So it helps the statistician and people like Pemandu and police to find solution. Two is I understand and I stand corrected. Pemandu is working with the police, and police themselves internally are working on this to make lodging reports more less stressful and more welcoming. If that happens, which I think it will eventually, people will be more willing to lodge reports. And I think that that's the first step, you know. But unfortunately now, whenever community groups like us or even Bar Council, when we talk about crime, we always hear from the government officials that it's a perception. Perhaps to some extent that may be accurate, but with deepest respect, if the officials don't live down the streets with us at Jinjiang, in even SS2 or suburban areas like Sungai Buloh, they do not understand what people go through. Some houses are broken in 7-8 times a year. It's a different life, you know, as compared to someone who's living high and mighty in a different place, you know. So there is crimes, and it's not just perception, it's real.
So when it comes to a community level, I mean, I can understand that you want that information, you need to know where to go, you need to know who to communicate to. But on a personal level, do you think that enough people feel that, yes, something is being done for me as opposed to just my community?
Well,
because if I'm going to go to all that trouble of going down to the police station, having to go through the whole process of explaining, you know, that is time that I could be spending going to get my IC, or time that I could be spending going to buy a new phone, for example, as opposed to, you know, going to make that police report.
Well sorry, Darren, I'll just straight say that we need the statistics. The people need to understand that statistics, though looking minute and innocuous, but actually goes a long way to help people in the correct places to understand what is happening and make decisions. So it's actually helping people make decisions. So I agree. I've been victim of crimes before, and it's actually quite irritating to go and lodge reports and all that. But do it. It helps. It will help the system in the long run.
Yes.
So far, we've been addressing crimes like, houses getting broken into, things like phones, I suppose, getting stolen, snatched, theft, and so on. But do issues like bullying or hate speech also fall within, say, for Malaysia's agenda?
Well, bullying, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we do deal with that. As for Malaysia, kids will deal with that.
Yes.
For hate speech, it's actually a slightly different issue. Hate speech now is the infamous seditious speeches. That's under civil liberty issues, human rights. But at Safe for Malaysia, particularly since we are a member of the Bar Council, three things. One, we support any effort to encourage the accurate freedom of speech, saying the accurate stuff and saying in bona fide. Two, we discourage people who use freedom of speech to abuse it, to say things just to create hate in the name of freedom of speech. So Safe for Malaysia disagree with that. In fact, we issued a statement on this issue, I think, about 2 years ago. Yeah. Thirdly, Safe for Malaysia, as per the crime issues, tried to explain that more hate speeches will eventually lead to crime, violent crime. And that is something which is we may not be able to stop, because it's covered with emotion, full of personal anger. It's a dangerous slope you're on. So we really discourage hate speech.
You also have crimes like robbery and theft now happening in the virtual world instead of just the real one. So are you taking on cyber crimes as well?
Well, at the moment, no. But it will be something that we are looking at. And in fact, we are, in the near future, looking at also the issues of the social media sharing and how it affects crime, helps out in crime prevention, and as well as the aspect on privacy law when it comes to sharing information in public, and especially it incriminates someone. So that would be something we're looking at. And in fact, yes, the crime on cyber crimes is something that we can definitely look at.
So perhaps you could both also give us a refresher. You know, you referenced going out to meet the community. It's part of what you do, outreach, as well as the conference that was organized. So let's talk about that. What kind of activities or forums do you organize to get the public involved with this agenda and with your modules?
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, in 2013, we, Safe for Malaysia, came up with a module training to train people how to think when it comes to fighting crime, solution against crime. And using that module, we have gone to university, to Tunku Abdul Rahman, private colleges. In fact, we are scheduled to go to USM and UNIMAS in Sarawak this month and next month. We are going back to Tar University again. Some of the programs are used in kindergartens where the school teachers will take it and try to implement in school. So that training is ongoing. And that training is, for example, asking kids or asking the delegates who's listening to the training, how do you really solve crime? If you see a person walking aimlessly in crime, in the street, what do you do? If you feel that there's going to be a crime, what do you do? So some people will say, jump on him or attack that fella. So Safe for Malaysia will encourage it, discourage them and say, look, you know, you should contact the police first, use the system, use the law, respect the rule of law, etc., etc. Then it led to eventually the Safe for Malaysia conference on, I think it was 22nd January, if I'm not mistaken, 2015.
Yes.
We hosted it together with University of Defence. The University of Defence are very much in support of this idea. And at that conference, Darren and I spoke. The police had a top senior officer speaking there. Dato' Amin Khan from Pemandu also spoke. People from MPPJ, the DPPs, the fire brigade, the prisons, you name it, they were there. Even town and country planners we invited. And people asked, for example, let me just show you how important Lin. People ask Darren, why did you call town and country planning? They have got nothing to do with crime.
Yes.
I told them I disagree. For example, when it comes to the small plants at the next to the traffic light, town and country planners will tell you that the height of the plant should be maybe 2 or 3 feet, maybe. They will tell the MPPJs and the DBKLs what to do with that. They plan all that, taking into account the possibility someone may hide behind the bush to rob you. So town and country planning also plays a part. Everyone plays a part, the whole entire system. So from that conference, we've seen a wave of discussions. And using the Safer Malaysia platform again, the Bar Council is reaching out to the police, Home Ministry, Pemandu, etc., etc. And from the 2015 January conference, there'll be follow-ups. And there's already follow-ups with Pemandu now. And the whole idea is to eventually, what's our ultimate aim, is to eventually find ways and exercise it and put it into place, ways to stop crime from happening. That is the most effective way to fight crime. Actually, Lynn, can I just go slightly digress here for a while before I pass it back to Darren? If you call the police, as much as I want the police to do something, as much as the police must do their work to deter crime, but when you call a police, Lynn, it's too late. You are already a victim. Nobody ever calls the police for fun. You call the police because you just got robbed or something else, you know. So what we want is that you don't ever have to call the police, so that the hero that fella who came and robbed you never robs, because we have now a new atmosphere in Malaysia where there's no reason for people to commit crime. That's where we're heading to. We want an atmosphere, a surrounding circumstances where people don't find a reason to commit crime. That is our ultimate aim for Safer Malaysia. And then if you less people call the police, less crimes, less victims.
And that leads me to my next question, which is rather a weighty one, but it's also a reference to something that, Richard, you mentioned at the start of the interview, which is, what is the root cause of crime? I mean, if we're trying to analyse it, it seems to me that they're multiple, right? There are multiple factors here.
Yes, definitely, Lynn, I agree. There is multiple factors which leads to one person being moulded to become a criminal sometime in the future. And it all starts from young. And which is why in Safer Malaysia we actually advocate for the greater study of criminology in Malaysia, taking a cue from case of Ted Bundy in US. They understood why Ted Bundy did what he did, and it was all through the study of criminology. And we think that this study is actually very important in Malaysia. It can be other factors, a lot of factors. It could be poverty, it could be drugs, it could be family problems. Identify the issue, tackle it, then we will be able to reduce one person becoming a criminal in the future.
On the other hand, some people might argue that punitive action is also a good way to prevent crime.
Definitely.
Do we need tougher laws?
Actually, I think we have enough laws. Malaysia have pretty good laws. I mean, we're speaking both from as lawyers.
As lawyers here in Malaysia.
But it is the enforcement which is an issue. Of course, comments like this sometimes doesn't go down well with the system. But the fact remains is if we have a more effective system, which includes assisting the police, assisting the DPPs, etc., and the prisons, then crime may drop. For example, the police. We may be critical against the police, and I am critical of them sometimes, but if you go to a police station, you realise the police, the criminal investigation department is ill-equipped. They're not properly supported. There's not enough staff. We need to do something about that. The DPPs, they're overworked. They are trying their best to do with what they have. We need to support them. The prisons, too much prisoners in too small prisons. The system needs to do something about that. So with the money that the government have, that is one particular area they should churn it to, direct it to, invest in our safety, invest in our security. That, I think, is the better way to go about.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes, yeah.
So after 3 years then, has this campaign altered any of your pre-existing notions of crime since its inception back in 2012? Or has it turned out to be pretty much, has the issue turned out to be pretty much what you expected it to be?
Well, I would say I must mention my old friend Yip Chuan Wing. He and I started this. He's still in the group. It's just that he didn't come today. Well, crime is still very much a issue for us. But with Safer Malaysia, we find ourselves strengthened as a community, as numbers. People now begin to think and debate and discuss and dialogue about solution against crime in an articulated, intelligent manner with the system, with the government. We find that there is hope. There is ways to solve it. It's not the end of the world. And we also show now as a leader that you don't need to wait for the police to come and help you. You as a community can do something about it. And this is how one way to do it. There are many other big groups out there. Amara is in a big group. Our colleague, our partner, Malaysian Crime Awareness Campaign, also a big group. Yes. Many, many anti-crime groups out there. In Puchong, in KL. These are good ways to find a platform where we all can converge and fight crime. So to answer your question, I think there's still crime, but I think now, compared to 3 years ago, we feel that there's a bit more hope.
So what are Safer Malaysia's plans and priorities going forward then?
Well, we are definitely going to take the relationship that we've built along these 3 years with the relevant authorities, be it police, local authorities, Bomba and whatnot, Pemandu as well. We're going to take it one step further for strengthening and a better cooperation towards really just one aim, Safer Malaysia. It's just too wide to really explain everything, but all stakeholders play a part, including the public.
And how do you assess whether what you've done has made an impact? How do you measure that success?
Well, we have to admit there's no formula to gauge that. But I would gauge it by the amount of people joining Safer Malaysia, the amount of people, more importantly, believing in this project. We started off in a small, tiny Facebook group for about 20 old people. Now there are about 5,000 of us. And we have partners with MARA and MCAC, Mission Crime Awareness Campaign. MCAC have more than 80,000 followers on Facebook. So we work together and everyone believe in this cause. So in that sense, I would say we are on the right direction. I will not use the word successful, not yet.
Yes.
But there is confidence, there is vigor, there is direction now. But I want to add in one more thing here, that other than this general fight for crime, there are two side campaigns we are doing. You dealt with one issue, Safer Malaysia Kids. Yeah. We are also campaigning now, very soon, crime against women. Violent crime especially. We are shooting a video about that soon. It'll be a subset within Safer Malaysia. I think people who hit another person is hideous. People who hit a weak person is worse. And crime against anyone or hitting anyone is bad. Yeah. But we want to focus on ladies is because of the nature of the crime against the ladies, especially rape and sexual molestation. It's a horrendous crime. And we don't want that to happen to any of our close friends, our mum or sisters. And that's something we're heading towards too. But that's something we perhaps at the next... if Safer Malaysia is invited to BFM again, perhaps we can speak about that in the future. Because now at the moment, it's all on the drawing board.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you both so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Richard Wee and Darren Lai, co-chairman of the Bar Council Safer Malaysia Committee. We've been discussing building a safer Malaysia on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.